Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word this morning, we turn to the words of our gospel reading from Luke chapter 10. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, I've spoken to a few farmers in Door County recently, and many of them are very pleased at the weather they've seen. There have been some sunny, warm days, and there's also been the recent rains once again, and you look at the crops growing, how wonderful they look. There used to be a saying where I grew up, knee high by the 4th of July for the corn, and it looks like it's meeting that. But I do remember, too, about 20 years ago, speaking with a farmer. This farmer looked at his crops and said, boy, it is looking so marvelously wonderful. There's going to be a bumper crop this year. And it was a couple weeks later, and a hailstorm came, and it wiped out those crops entirely. What looked so beautiful was now devastated. You and I can make predictions, but we can never be for certain about our physical harvests, can we? Sometimes farming is considered a gamble. But when Jesus beholds his harvest, he is the omniscient Lord who looks at his harvest with an all-seeing eye. Jesus can look at his harvest and be certain of that harvest as well. And so today we think for just a moment about Jesus beholding his harvest, how he is the one who sends out the workers into his harvest field, and then he gives them a reason to rejoice in that work too. We hear in our gospel reading today that Jesus sent out 72 workers. He had already sent out the 12. Now he's sending out 72 more, 36 pair of witnesses, of gospel proclaimers. And as he sends them out, he says something about his harvest. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Do we have that same perspective of our Savior when we look at his harvest? Do we look at his harvest and say, oh, how plentiful it is? Or does our sinful nature get the best of us and say, well, it looks like in the 21st century the church is dwindling, that faith is fleeting, that people are going the way of apostasy rather than with faithful ambition coming to the Lord to hear his word and to receive his sacrament? Are we disappointed, or do we listen to the Lord of the harvest? Listen to his word as he says, the harvest is plentiful. It is there. And the fascinating thing is that our Lord makes us participants in that beautiful harvest. He doesn't ask us to go and find the workers. He's the Lord of the harvest. What he does ask us to do is to ask the Lord of the harvest for more workers. I don't know if you've seen from our seminary down in Mequon how many actually graduated from the seminary class this year. I didn't count it up exactly either. I think it was maybe 25 to 30 men who are about to go out, including our Vicar Mitchell, who was just assigned to Southern Wisconsin. But there are still roughly 150 congregations that are without a pastor this Sunday morning, a full-time pastor. Indeed, Jesus' words are clear, aren't they? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But we continue to trust Jesus that he will send out those workers, and in trust, we turn to him. He wants us to ask. Do we fervently ask him for more workers to go out into the field? You did that. You did that about 10 months ago. You may not be able to see this from where you're at, but this is what they call a divine call, something that a minister gets when a call is extended to him. You and the members of Zion extended this call to me 10 months ago. It says in Latin, in nomine Jesu, and the wording in this is very serious. It speaks of the importance of the divine call extended to a pastor. And 10 months ago, you didn't know, and I didn't know, whether or not that call would be accepted or not. But Jesus knew. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. We continue to put our trust in him. He makes us participants in that, right? He's the one who calls the workers, but he uses his church, his congregation, to call forth those workers. The call extended to me was through God's people. God was working through you. That's the blessed grace of our God working in such profound, mysterious, glorious ways for his church. We get to participate in that. And think of how Jesus does his work in sending out the harvest workers. He does it in a way that our sinful nature might say, well, that's not how I would do it, Jesus. You notice what Jesus said when he sent out the 72? He said to them, go. I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Stop and picture that for a moment. How much life would be left in a lamb that is amongst wolves? That lamb would surely die, right? And what a perspective that those workers would be sent amongst wolves against people who would have nothing to do with God's word except to devour the workers and devour the word itself and say there's no place for this in our world today. But instead of reacting in fear to his call to go, we rather remember what Jesus said. The full sentence, he says, I send you as lambs among the wolves. Don't fear. Jesus is the one who sends those lambs amongst the wolves. You may also at times feel like lambs living in a dog-eat world. And then we know that our Lord is still with us. He is the one who sends us out to still continue to rejoice in his love and grace for us, because he's the one who sends out the public workers and he sends out his people to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors to share that word as well. Do not fear. Jesus also says another thing that is kind of surprising. He told those 72 not to take a purse for their money or a bag for food, or an extra pair of sandals either. Jesus, why would you do that? You're sending these workers out into the hinterland. Why would you do that? Well, Jesus was teaching them a lesson of trust. Jesus was saying, trust me. I will take care of you. And when those 72 went out and they proclaimed the word of God, there were individuals and families who would house these workers, who would feed these workers. And Jesus told those 72, go ahead and eat and drink what the people lovingly give you. And that is how you participate in this ministry too. You lovingly and graciously support that ministry of the local ministry here at Christ with your offerings, with support of a house down at Zion, one that is being remodeled and almost finished. But you don't do that just because a pastor has come. You do it because Jesus loves you. You do it because he has forgiven you and pardoned you and given you a gift far greater than any gifts we could ever give to him. He will take care of his workers. He will take care of his congregation too. And one other big lesson that we would say, maybe we would do it differently, is to remember that the workers that stand before you, like yours truly, remembers that I am but a sinner. Wouldn't it be good, wouldn't it be better for the church if God would send out perfect ministers, ones who could really be very flamboyant and wonderful. No, we see that they are sinners through and through. And that is to show forth the grace of God all the more. That through weak, feeble men, through this man who is but the son and a grandson and a great-grandson of farmers, God still preaches his word. Hearts are fed with that saving word and sacrament. As you stated in your letter to me, in the divine call to administer word and sacrament, our God sends out his wonders. It's all by grace. But why did workers go out in the first place? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus kind of gives us a very bleak picture here when he says that those workers are to go out. And sometimes when they go out, there are going to be people who reject that word. Jesus stated, those who listen to you, listen to me. Those who reject you, reject me. And sometimes they would go into a town, and in that town, those people would reject the Lord. And then those disciples were to take off their sandals, shake the dust off those sandals, and proclaim that they are going to move on, that the word of God was near you, but you missed out. It would probably be persecution and difficult days. Why in the world would the workers go out? Sometimes workers are tempted to think that it's all about the physical results, the visible results that you see in ministry. As long as membership is growing, as long as there are baptisms and people coming to communion, coming to church, well, that's what makes ministry truly joyful, right? That's what the disciples seem to think too. They came back from their mission trip, and what did they say? Lord Jesus, we saw the demons submit in your name. Those visible results of conquering the devil. Well, Jesus had to remind them, this conquering of the demons is all not because of you and your power, but because of me. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I am the one who would conquer this demon, this chief of demons, the devil, by dying on the cross to take away all of your sins. I am the cause of your success. But don't let that be the main reason why you rejoice. Don't let what you do and your physical, visible success be the reason why you rejoice. Rather, he says, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Don't rejoice by what we have done. Rejoice by what has been done for you through your Lord. Just imagine that for a moment and take great peace in that, that your name is written in heaven. You didn't write it. You had no power to do so. For your name was written in heaven long before you were born, long before the first day of creation. You were chosen to be God's child with your name written in heaven in eternity. That is mind-blowing. We cannot fully understand it, but it does emphasize the point that we are saved not by our works, but by the grace of God. And God made that known to you, that election, that writing of your name in heaven, in a most profound way when you were brought to the font and the water was placed upon your head and the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was connected for all eternity with your name that is written in heaven. Don't rejoice in the outward results. Sometimes those results will be so disappointing. Rather, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And may that be your impetus, your motivation for going out and sharing this word of grace, all for the glory of the Lord of the harvest. God grant us such a faith. God grant us such an assurance and such a joy to proclaim his name now and always. Amen.